How's everybody doing? Good to see everybody. They should start at 9:35 instead of 9:30, so it's 9:35. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for another opportunity that you've given us to come here and study together your word. And we just ask that you would give all of us clarity of thought and as we look at your word to understand the things that are written in them, so that we can minister to others more effectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here for my presentation yesterday, this one's very similar. This is another passage of Scripture that when you read the commentaries, it'll make your head explode and kill you. And so it's going to be very similar in that regards. And we're going to see. In this passage of Scripture, once again, we're meeting some people that John says believed. And so the question is, did they really believe? And that's what we're dealing with, just like in John chapter 2. And you'll see as soon as we flip up the New King James Version what these verses say. Here it is. This is in John 8, verse 30. He says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. There's that those words, pistuo ace, they believed in him. Boy, there's something wrong there. Okay, let me see. Many believed in him. And Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, that phrase, I don't know, the truth shall make you free, that should be in another place. Yeah, that's in verse 32. It says, and he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, here's the issue. The issue is, just real quickly, are the people in verse 33, they answered him, are these the same people who believed in verse 30? That's the issue. Okay, that's the first issue. And then the second issue is, did those people in verse 30 really believe? Okay, so those are the two issues. Now, let's look at the quotes just like we did in John chapter 2. And again, I just went to the seminary, took off the first eight or so commentaries just to see, didn't look at any names. Here's what was said. Okay, we got the issue. The issue is, did they really believe, and are the people who speak in verse 33 the same people who believed in verse 30? Those are the two issues. And here's what people have to say. John 8, 30 through 33. But these so-called believers, and the reason why is, what happens, by the way, in verse 33 is, they who are responding to Jesus say, they become his opponents and they start arguing with him. And in verse 59, we're going to see, eventually they want to stone Jesus. So they believed in him, then they start arguing, if it's the same people, then they start arguing with him and they want to stone him. Okay, so that's the issue, and here's what people have to say. These so-called believers were incensed that Jesus implied that they were in bondage. So in other words, they believed in him, and then Jesus says, I can truly make you free. And they go, wait a second, we're not in bondage. What are you talking about? That's what people are saying. This is what this guy is saying. The studied reader of John has learned that such statements about believing can be double-leveled and therefore are not always a conclusive or final evaluation of reality. My next one's my favorite. This section of discourse is addressed to those who believe and yet do not believe. I love that one. That's a direct quote. I almost didn't survive that quote. They had to call in the ER people to come and get me, you know, paramedics. Another guy said, it is best to think that John is speaking of men who have made an outward profession, but in this particular case, it did not go very deep. If men in any sense believe in him, it is important that they be led to see what real faith means. It becomes immediately clear what is lacking in their faith in Jesus. They were prepared to accept him and grant him credence when he spoke to them of God, But that faith had to fit into the framework of their Jewishness and could not be allowed to violate what was fundamental for them in that Jewishness. So in other words, they believed, but then when Jesus started talking about the Jewish religion, they said, no, we really don't believe you. The faith of these believers is shallow. What is required for true lasting discipleship is not merely immediate assent, but continued adherence to Jesus' word. By definition, true faith perseveres. These verses distinguish between those listeners who had believed on Jesus unto salvation and those who had merely believed certain things that he had said. There's a difference between believing something on the intellectual level only and believing in the sense of belief that the Bible calls for when it asks us to believe on Christ. Jesus' words are directed to those who had believed only in an inadequate intellectual level. In other words, just like in John chapter 2, these people didn't really believe. And so, if we go back and look at the quote, basically there's two options, there's three options that we're going to see, but for those people who said that these people did not really believe, here's the two options. Number one, and he spoke these words, many believed in him. But then these people speak and they start arguing with Jesus. And so one option is that these are the same people, the people who believed in verse 30 are the same people who are arguing with Jesus in verse 33, and eventually they want to stone him to death in verse 59. So, these people are people who did not really believe. That's one option for all these quotes we had. The next option is a little bit different. And what they say is, the people who speak in verse 33 are different than the people who spoke in believed in verse 30, but it says in verse 30 that many people believed in him. And then in verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This option says this. John tells us these people believe, but what Jesus says is, I'm not really sure you believe. The only way we're going to know if you really believed is if you abide in my word and persevere until the end. So, They say someone else is speaking in verse 33. You see the two options. Okay? So, is Jesus saying to these people, okay, both those options say these people are not really believers yet. We can't know. Those are the two options. So, if we look, there's really three options. And that's why I go here. Verse 30 and verse 33 are the same people. They didn't really believe. In other words, they only believe for a second, and then they go, oh, no. You know, we don't believe what you just said. And then the other option is that verse 30 and 33 are not the same people, but Jesus is telling the people who it says believed in verse 30 that in order to be saved, they have to persevere until the end. And by the way, both Calvinists and Arminians are comfortable with that view. Sure. What they believed, and Jesus says, okay, if you really believe, then you need to abide in my word and persevere till the end. That's what's going on here in these verses. Okay? If you accept option number 1 and 2, which by the way, all those quotes that I gave did, then basically we don't know whether those people are believers or not. There's no assurance of salvation. And then there's another option, which is the correct option. And that is here. Verse 30 and 33 are not the same people, but the people in verse 30 are believers. Okay? So when they start arguing with Jesus, those are not the same people who believed in verse 30. Okay, everybody clear on that, what the three options are? Okay? And I'm going to argue for option number 3, this one right here. All right. Okay. In verse 33, when it says in verse 33 that they answered him, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Verse 3 or option 3 is saying that these people refer to those people who are opposed to Christ. And now, those who say option number 1 and 2, what they say is that when it says they said to Jesus, what they argue is that most naturally refers to the people who are spoken of in verses 30 through 32. So those people who say these people didn't really believe, when you see the word they in verse 33, it's talking about the people who Jesus is addressing in verses 31 and 32. They argue this for people who say that these people are not really saved. And then they point out that in verse 59, it says these same people want to stone Jesus. Therefore, these people are not believers, even though in verse 30, it says they believed in him. That's the argument of the people who say these people didn't really believe. So how do we respond to that? Okay. They believed in him. Jesus says this to them. And then they say to Jesus, blah, 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 blah. People who argue that these people really didn't believe say that they in verse 33 are the same people in verses 30, 31, and 32. Okay. There's a big problem with that. Same problem we had in John chapter 2. Remember in verse 30, it says, they believed in him. Pistuo ace. And in the Gospel of John, pistuo ace means these people really believed in him. It always means that. And we looked at that like John 3:16, John 1:12, John 3:18, John 11:25 and 26. John uses that phrase 36 times, and every other time it means they believed in him. So if we're going to argue that these people really didn't, this would be the one exception, just like in 2:23. That's a big problem. But there's another big problem. Now we're going to have a language study right here. When you read in verse 33, look there again, when you read in verse 33, it says, they answered him. The question is, who is they? That's the whole point here. Who is they in verse 33? Now, in Spanish, and I got a couple Spanish speakers who came here with me from South Carolina, hablan, that word there, means they speak. In Greek, here's the word that speaks, legousi, they speak. In English, we say they speak. What stands out? What's the difference between English and Greek and Spanish here? What's the difference? In English, you have to have this word, they. See, in Spanish, you don't have to have it. You can use it, but you don't have to. You could say ellos hablan, they speak, right? Same thing in Greek. You don't have to have the pronoun. In English, we have to have the word they, but it's optional in Greek. And here's the point that I want to make. Here in John chapter 8, verse 33, the word they is not there. It's just the Greek word speak. They speak, and the word they is not there. Why is that important? Let's talk about a few things in the Gospel of John. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but when John introduces new speakers, he almost always prefers to use the subject. So in other words, if John is talking about somebody who's speaking for the first time, he doesn't say he speaks and leaves out the word he. He talks about who the person is. Let me give you an example. Look in John chapter 8. We're in the same chapter. Notice in what's going on in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 19, is you have the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus is teaching people in the temple. And these are people who had believed in him during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so you know what happens with the woman. The people who come to accuse her leave. But then notice what happens in John chapter 8, verse 18. Okay, Jesus keeps talking, and then in John chapter 8, let me get the right one, verse 13. After the woman leaves, it says in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said to him. Here's what's happening. Jesus is teaching some people, and a group of people come in and accuse this woman. Jesus says, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. They all leave. Jesus is left with the believers that he was teaching in the temple, and he says to them, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you shall walk in light, not walk in darkness. In verse 13, we have a new group. Here's what I want you to see. We have a new group. Verse 13, it says, the Pharisees therefore said to him, they are opposing Jesus. This is a new group. This is a new group on the scene, and John uses the word Pharisees because this is the first time this group has spoke. The people who have accused him left Jesus. Now you've got another group of Pharisees come in. This is the first time they speak. So John says, the Pharisees said. But notice, they also speak later. Notice in verse 19. And so they were saying to him, where is your father? The word they in Greek is not there. Okay, here's the point. When John introduces new speakers, he tells us who they are. When they talk again, he just uses the word speak. He don't use the word they. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Okay. The reason that's important is in verse 33, the word they is not there. This is really important. This is the way John operates. When someone speaks for the first time, he tells us who they are. When they speak again, he doesn't tell us who they are, and he doesn't use that word pronoun. The word, whatever pronoun it is, in this case, they. And that is exactly what we see in verse 33. Why is that important? Because in verse 30, we have people who believed in Jesus and they have never spoken. If they are speaking in verse 33, then John would have said, these believers said. Okay, that's the point. And the bottom line of all that is the they of verse 33 are not the believers of verse 30. There's somebody else. There are people who are opposed to Jesus. And we're going to see who. John tells us who they are. John tells us in this context who they are. Okay? All right. And I've already said some of this. John's use of the word they. When John reintroduces speakers, they've already spoke before, he does not use the pronoun they. He does not add that word, like the Spanish word hablan or the Greek word legusi. He doesn't say they, okay? He does this 70 out of 79 times. And whenever there's a debate going on, he never uses the pronoun in the Gospel of John. And here in John 8, verses 30 through 33, we got a debate going on. There's a debate going on. The pronoun is not used in verse 33. Therefore, John is reintroducing someone who's already spoke. These new believers have not spoken. So John in verse 33 is talking about somebody else. Now the question is, who is it? Who are these people? Who are they? If we're following John's way of doing things, they have already spoken before. And to find out who they are, all we got to do is look at the context. In verse 33, we see that they are not the believers, the people who had just believed in him. They are unbelievers. They are people who are opposed to him. And like I say, in verse 59, they want to stone him to death. And here's the answer. The larger context begins in verse 20. Go back to verse 20 of John. In John, it says, John chapter 8, verse 20. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. Now, when it says that Jesus was teaching in the treasury, what we see is, just like we see in the account of the woman caught in adultery, he is teaching them in the temple. These are people who are listening to them. These are believers, people who had believed in him during the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus is teaching people. There are people who are open to what he is teaching. And within that group, certainly there are believers. And we see that in verse 12 when he says, them, I am the light of the world. Follow me and you shall not walk in darkness. So what we see, Jesus is talking in the temple and there are believers there. And he is teaching them. That's going on in John chapter 8. Okay? But notice, but there are also opponents who are there. We've already seen in verse 13 that there's Pharisees there who don't believe him. Now notice what happens in verse 22. While Jesus is teaching in the temple, it says in verse 22, therefore the Jews were saying to him, surely he will not kill himself,
Will he? Since he says, where I'm going. And Jesus is rebuking them in verse 21. So what we see here in verse 22 is we are introduced to another group of people, and John tells us who they are. And he uses the word the Jews. These are unbelieving Jews, and it says in verse 22, the Jews were saying to him. This is the way John operates. This is the first time they're speaking. So John tells us who they are, just like he did in verse 13 with the Pharisees. This is the first time they're speaking. He's speaking to them in they are speaking to him in verse 22, and John tells us who they are. These are the Jews who are opposed to him. These same people speak in verse 25. Notice in verse 25. And they were saying to him, who are you? Once again, we see there's a debate going on. They spoke in verse 22. John tells us who they are. In verse 25, they speak again, but he doesn't say the Jews said, and he doesn't use the pronoun they. They said to him. He's reintroducing someone who's already spoken. Then in verse 30, we're introduced to a new group. Many believed in him. Jesus speaks to this group of believers in verses 31 through 32, and then notice verse 33. And they said to him, who is they? The unbelieving Jews who spoke to, who are identified in verse 22, and who also spoke in verse 25, John's reintroducing it again. The same group of people. And that's why he uses just the verb there. He doesn't have the pronoun because these people have already spoke. That's the way John always operates when there's a debate going on. The bottom line is that in verse 33, the unbelieving Jews, opponents of Jesus, speak again just like they did in verse 22 and 25. The first time they spoke, John tells us who they are. Then he just simply says, they say in verse 25, without the pronoun. And in verse 33, they say without the pronoun again. The word they is not used. They are not the believers of verse 30. Okay, let's summarize that. In John 8, 20 through 33, Jesus is in the presence of two groups, unbelieving opponents and new believers. Jesus speaks to the new believers in verses 31 and 32. His opponents, those who do not believe in him, speak to him in verse 22 when John introduces us and tells us the Jews, he uses the word Jews, the subject, said to him. Then they speak again in verse 25, and he does his normal thing, they said, without the pronoun they, and they also speak in verse 33, they said, without the pronoun they again. This same group of people are the unbelievers who eventually want to stone him to death in verse 59. Okay? So, we've answered that first question. Are the people in verse 33 the same people in verse 30? The answer is very clear that they are not. These are the opponents who John has introduced in verse 20. Okay, so what is Jesus saying to these new believers in verses 31 and 32? Go back to them. Verses 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking to those who had believed in him, and he says to them, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He tells these new disciples, he's not saying to them, okay, if you really believed, then you're going to persevere to the end. That's not what Jesus is saying to them at all. He says to them that they need to abide in his word and they will be his disciples and then they will be free. What is he talking about? Jesus wants these new believers to follow him. He says the same thing to the believers in the temple in verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is telling these new believers to obey his teaching. There is a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, then you will be my disciple. Only believers can abide in Christ and be his disciples. Turn to John chapter 15, verses 7 through 10. John chapter 15, verses 7 through 10. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Judas has already left. Only the 11 are there. And he says to them, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments.
Jesus is telling the same thing to these believers here in John chapter 8. They have believed in him. He's not saying, now if you really believed, you're going to do all these things and persevere and prove that you really believe. No, what he's saying is these people believed in him. Now he wants them to be his disciples, to keep his word and to follow in his footsteps. And if they do that, they will be set free from the power of sin. Notice verse 34 of John 8. John chapter 8, verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Jesus is telling these new believers, if you abide in his word, if you follow him, you will be set free from the power of sin, as Romans chapter 6 through 8 discusses. Conclusion. The believers in John 8:30 are believers. They have believed in Christ for eternal life. They are completely secure. Option 3 is the right option. Christ wants them to follow him in discipleship. And in verse 33, it is the unbelieving opponents who speak to Jesus again. They were introduced in verse 20 and they spoke in verse 25. And John is following his normal pattern here of when people speak, especially when there's a debate going on. And I put a little note there. John Niemela has written a paper where he makes a chart of all the times this word they said, he said, and they introduce subjects. If you're interested in that, I've got like a 20-page thing that shows how John does this throughout the Gospel of John. And I'm hoping to make it a journal article in the spring. Okay, what we're basically talking about here. Okay? And I think I'm out of time.